Is this about romance?
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell.
Or is it really a matter of software?
I got the green light, I got a little fire. I'm gonna turn this thing around, can you read my mind?
Last week, a team of scientists at the University of Minnesota demonstrated a new flying robot that can be directed by brain activity being read from inside the skull of a user wearing a special helmet. Dr. Bin He is a professor of biomedical engineering right here at the University of Minnesota. He led the team behind this new brain drone and joins me here in the studios of Minnesota Public Radio. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you, Joe.
So what did you manage to accomplish here? The robot, through this helmet, can detect what's going on in the brain, can't actually read the mind, but you can move the robot with your brain.
That's correct. In this work, we demonstrate that by picking up the brain wave generated by lots of neurons, which when a subject is being thinking or imagining movement, but actually do not move any part of the body, and we demonstrate that kind of signal can be decoded and used to control the flight of a flying robot.
And what's this helmet like? What's it actually measuring in the brain?
The helmet is really consisting of, we call it a thinking cap or EEG cap, consisting of 64 electrosensors. Each of them is actually kind of like a metal button and attached on the skin of the scalp and picks up electrical potential.
Now, are you teaching the operators to use their brain to fire off particular neurons that can be detected, or are you teaching the robot to be sensitive to what electricity is coming off the skulls of the users?
We are teaching the subject to control the way that they can control the robot by just a thinking certain action. And the technology involved here is we are able to pick up such kind of signal when subject are thinking and with a certain intention, say, want to fly the robot to the left or to the right, and we were able to reliably detect that signal and to send through a Wi-Fi network to control that flying robot.
So are you saying if I was operating, would I just think, turn right, and the robot would turn right? Or would I have to do something to cause my brain to light up over here on the right side? Maybe think about math over here, or think about music over here on the left side, depending on how the brain works?
Yeah, actually, the subject would need to imagining a certain movement. For example, if you want to fly the robot to the left, then you have to imagining moving your left hand. And specifically, actually, we ask a subject to thinking clenching of the left hand. If you want to go to right, and thinking clenching the right hand. So in that way, there is a language being established that map what a subject's intention with what a robot's action.
Now, how many times, and be honest now, how many times did you crash the robot into the wall?
I really did not remember that. I only recall that once, because there are many crashing in the beginning. And once I bought 10 robots for my student team, say, okay, just go ahead and crash it as much as you need. So there are many failures in the beginning.
Many failures in the beginning.
Yes.
A pile of crashed thought-reading robots. So what's the application of this, do you think?
The main application would be to help disabled patient who to gain the movement abilities. Therefore, in this particular experiment, we ask a subject to just imagining but not actually moving. For the application, that subject, if they are paralyzed, they cannot move any muscle, but if their brain is clear, we can detect the signal and turn their thought into action.
So how effective is this? I mean, when people actually try to use it, do they need training for weeks to do something effective?
This actually has been quite effective. For example, in this study we published last week, we studied 5 subjects on average, and they went through about 10 to 12 hours actual training time before this actual robot control experiment. And in the video, you probably have seen that the subject actually wasn't my student, that was the third time he actually did such kind of experiment, and he did it very well.
So how long before the robot, instead of just responding to these electrical impulses, actually communicates back to the subject wearing the helmet and says, wow, you're kind of depressed today. Why are you feeling so bad? Actually reading the thoughts.
Well, all the experiment is online in the real time, and the subject actually is not seeing the robot. What the subject can see is a computer screen that is image captured by the camera mounted on the robot. So the subject is searching the field, find a ring in the big gym, and then try to go through that ring without hitting the edge of the ring. So this is like the real life and scenario.
And anyway, the robot could communicate back to the subject and go, nice job.
Well, that sounds a good idea, but we didn't try.
We'll work on that next, right?
Yes.
Dr. Ben, he is a professor of biomedical engineering at the University of Minnesota. He led the team behind a mind-operated robot. Mind-operated, not mind-reading, right?
That's correct.
An important distinction. We're talking about health and the myths associated with diets out there. Jamie in Stillwater, Oklahoma wrote that we should only eat foods that we might find in nature. Nuts, berries, water, fruit, vegetables, and fish. Don't eat anything that comes in a box, says Jamie. From Dallas, though, eat anything but in moderation. Use smaller plates. Love yourself. Food is energy, not the enemy, and treat it as such. And from Carroll City, Florida, never eat anything after 7. No gluten. Treat yourself to something once in a blue moon and drink water. We always want to hear from you. Dieting advice from our listeners. That could go on for an hour.